little of the background of Hebrews 11:22, but the background will be so long, I've only chosen one little tiny section in the book of Exodus, the books of Exodus, and chapter 40, I'm beginning to read at, let me see, no, I've gone wrong. I'm sorry. The book of Genesis. I don't know how that happened. Book of Genesis. Here we are. Yes, chapter 50 and the last few verses. Beginning at verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall he say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted them. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land, unto the land which you swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now the verse we have in chapter 11 of Hebrews is verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. It's interesting that that the writer to the Epistle to Hebrews chose just that one verse from the life of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It's more significant than you think. You might, could easily have very other interesting verses about him, but that particular one is a reference regarding a part of the chapter I read now. Now, as in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so Joseph, they were deeply concerned of the promises of God and his covenant, and the continuation of God's people. That was their concern. And you can see really the choice of God in this, in choosing a man like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob too, who had one concern, that the work of God will continue. And so it is the same with Joseph. Sometimes I've used the picture of the church like a little thread A strand of silk sometimes seems so delicate. In times of great refreshing, the strand is as thick as a cord. Now then, you might say, is it weak when it's only a strand? No, it's not, because it's God's cord. And here in the case of Joseph, you know, however, you know, when you think of his life, however were the promises of God going to be fulfilled? You know, when you think of what harm his brothers did to him, and yet he was the one who would preserve the future. It seems strange, especially when you look at the circumstances. In his death, he foretold that they would be out of Egypt. Quite right, in a century and a half, they would be out of Egypt. And regarding his own burial, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, but to the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. You see, he never really became an Egyptian, all the while he belonged to the children of Israel. In Exodus 13, verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones away hence with you. See, much later, God raises Moses to do this very thing. It's amazing, really, the continuation of the Israel of God, the people of God. Now, remember who we are now. We are not Israelis, but we are Israelites. An Israelite is a person from the Old Testament and the New. There's no difference between us when we are in Christ. Both of us have to come to Christ to be children of God. And so in that sense, we are the Israel of God. This is something more spiritual than a territorial area. Now, Joseph never had any part really in Egypt. And you can see this by the words that he says. Now, God was going to make sure of the future. So he has a man of faith here. Now, they're rare, aren't they? They're rare. A man of faith. You can think of the political situation in all the countries I can think of. We know there is chaos everywhere and so on. But one of the big problems is there is no one in any political party, in any country that I know, stands head and shoulders above the others. You know, the very able men are going into business. Whereas in the political field, it's more second rate. And you get a second rate kind of government. Wherever you go, whichever country you like to mention, it's like that. But God knows how to choose his people for the continuation of the plans of God. And regarding his brethren, he's very generous. We'll look at the story again within 50-20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, that God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, what we have here is a lot of detail. I'll try and go through them very quickly. But I want you to notice one thing as I go along. Is, do you believe, and I'm asking you a question now, do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that when adverse things happen to you, that God has it in hand? And it's for your good? Do you believe when good things happen to you, it's for your good? Or do you just want to say, it's only nice things, I think? You know, but it says in the Bible, all things, good and bad, horrible and nice, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, if we can come to that place of trust, our attitude to our circumstances changes immensely, you know. We're not downcast. We're not being silly either, or kind of jolly about it. But we recognize a steadfastness because we know we submit to the will of God in our lives, whatever it may be. And there are many things you might say, I could have done without this. But when you see the picture, even in this life later on, you say, well, really, God meant it for my good. Can you believe that now? Now, I want you to think of this man, Joseph. His protection, how he's protected. The believer experience of God's grace is also kept by the power of God. Consider his brothers. They're not a nice lot, are they? Jealous of him. And when opportunity arose, they harm him. Remember when he went to the flock, they planned to kill him. And in Genesis 37:24, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So we're going to leave him there, just to die. A slow death and a miserable one. Just leave him there. But they change their minds. Some Midianites come along and they sell him. And you remember how they deceived their father by bringing his jacket with some blood on it and so on. And he thought that his son was dead. And he loved Joseph very much. At that time, he was his youngest son. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused, as did Jacob, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son, mourning." Thus his father wept of him. "It'll be such a sorrow for me. All my life, right to my grave, I will be grieving for Joseph, and I will weep all the days of my life." So they could see his grief was very great. This is something he had to bear. But he had to go on living. And indeed, a very remarkable man he is too. Now, after that, there's another episode. He's taken to a certain home of Potiphar. And there, Potiphar's wife likes him because he's a handsome man and wants to tempt him to have immorality with her. And then he ran away from this. But she is furious and feels humiliated and tells her husband that he tried to impose himself upon her. And he believed his wife, so lies were said about him. You might say, "Well, that's a mistake, God. I don't like lies said about me." But I wonder how many good people have all sorts of things said about them. It's not very pleasant. It's not very easy to take. Misrepresentation or lies. But he has to take it. And he has to believe that God was with him. And all things work together for good to them that love God. It didn't look very good. So he's a prisoner now. And there he is. And the Lord was with Joseph. This is now Genesis 39:21 or so. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So he's such a good man and a reliable man. And I think he had a certain charisma about him, must have had, that the jailer makes him really, puts him more or less in charge of the prison. So he has quite a position there. But there come two prisoners out of Pharaoh's favor. You could fall out of favor very easily. You could smile at the wrong time. You could scowl at the wrong time. And you'd be in prison and executed. There was a ruthless regime. Plenty of those today as well. Butler and a baker. And they have dreams. And he interprets the dreams. And one indeed is disastrous. But the butler within 3 days is released. And then in Genesis 40:14... Joseph said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee." You know, I've given you good news. Think about me. Think on me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. Do that for me. Remember me. But he forgot, you know. He'd had what he wanted. He was out. He was spared. He was now... the baker was certainly, the butler was still serving Pharaoh and forgot all about poor old Joseph here. But he may have forgotten. Now listen, God did not. Do you believe that now? God did not. That's a very wonderful thing to know. When you all things seem against us or drive us to despair, we know one door is open, we know one ear will hear our prayer. God did not. All the while, God is with him in his perils. Now, it's a great step here. He is a God of providence. And if you can come to that place, that in prosperity and in adversity, in all those situations, he was unwavering. You never have a grumble, you never have a moan, you never have a murmur, but he submits to it all. It seems so hopeless, so absolutely hopeless. But things change. Let's talk about his new position now, a dramatic change in his life, the plan of God unfolds. And Pharaoh has a dream, and he's very bothered. He sees 7 well-fed cattle and 7 lean cattle and 7 ears of corn and 7 ears without corn and so on. And he's deeply troubled. He doesn't understand this dream. And the chief butler suddenly remembers, but I think only he only remembers to his advantage, thinking, well, if I can help Pharaoh now, I might even be given a rise, you know. So he says, I know somebody who can interpret dreams. Now, I'd like to think that he remembered him because he loved him, and I don't think so. I think he remembered him because it was to his advantage. It doesn't matter. God can use that. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, God shall, I can't do it, but God shall give Pharaoh an answer of this. And so he tells him, there will be 7 years of plenty, and there will be 7 years of famine. But do not forget the plenty. And his advisers. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man as this, in whom the Spirit of God is? And his advice was quite easy, that whilst those 7 years of plenty, lay a great quantity aside, so you'll be prepared for the hard years and the barren years. And Pharaoh is deeply moved by this. Thou shalt be over my house, he said. Was there ever such a man like this? The Spirit of God is in this man. And something's happening now. He said, well, you know, he's been accused of adultery, or almost that, and in prison, and having really an unfortunate time, and would have been left to die in a pit, yet to sort of the Midianites. But everything that happened was in God's hands. Everything that happened. Quite an amazing thing. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be great. Only I will be greater than thee, than thou. That's all. You'll be second to me. Only I myself, Pharaoh, will be above you. Apart from that, you'll be in charge of everything over all the land, and people honor him. From the pits of death to a palace of plenty. What a great step. You may say, well, that's nice. I like that part of all things work together for good. But you take all of it, you know, all of it. The hand of God is here. Now, how does he react? God is always in his mind. He has 2 sons. Manasseh, meaning, for God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So those are the 2 sons, his Manasseh and Ephraim. But however, meanwhile, he is fully occupied with his great task, and it is a great task too. And yet you can see the purposes of God. God is moving. Over there is Jacob breaking his heart. Over there are the very unkind and wicked brothers. And over here is Joseph, gone through all sorts of circumstances. He doesn't say, if you only knew what I've gone through, if you only knew what I've suffered. But you don't get any of that. And have you had that said to you many, many times? Oh, well, it's different in my case, if you only knew. No. We all go through it in some way or another, you know. And I don't think Joseph would have said anything other, well, Jesus led me all the way. God led me all the way. All the way in my life. Do you like to recount your experience? Not particularly, but I can see the hand of God in the pits. I can see the hand of God in the Midianites. I can see the hand of God in the house of Potiphar. I can see the hand of God in prison. Yes, I can see the hand of God in all that. And much discomfort too. Now, his persuasion. The glimpse of this man's heart, and see his faith and faithfulness. Now, meanwhile, Jacob faced life and death situation. There was a famine throughout all the lands. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, go there. He sends them. He said, we're all dying of famine in these countries, but we've heard there's corn in Egypt. And they'll sell it. They're willing to sell it. They have plenty for themselves, and they're willing to share it with others. And so he sends his sons there, and the brothers arrive. And he has to turn away from them and wept when he met them. And you know all the things that happened, that he kept one behind and also put something in the sack and so on, in order to keep them there that they might come back. And when Benjamin was kept, it was very, very distressing for the father. And the father, and Israel said, Jacob, it is enough. Joseph, her son, is yet alive. He understood now he was yet alive. I can't believe it. He is yet alive. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So, in all those is a very interesting part, isn't it, where they don't recognize Joseph, but he recognized them and goes to another room and weeps, you know, not with hatred, but weeps with sorrow and gladness, and so glad to see his brethren. They had no idea how he loved them. Despite what they had done to him, he loved them, and he was troubled, and eventually tells them who he is, and they are afraid. And you know the various stories of the of how he they went back and forth. And Joseph made ready to meet Israel, his father, to go to Goshen, and presented her unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. What a meeting it would be. He never thought he would see his father again. And Jacob, or Israel, never thought that he would see Joseph again. He never thought that could be. There are many things you might say, we might say now. We might say things like this. We can never believe that God will visit us again. You cannot see it. And yet when he comes, we're amazed that when he came. See, we lack in faith. Believing in the sovereignty of God is a tremendous faith. In your personal lives, in the life of the church, in the purposes of God, to believe that God is sovereign. Just now people are panicking a little, aren't they? The economy of the big countries is not very safe. And also there might be another depression like the 30s was able to say. And those who lived through that time know that that is something. And also we know global things, whether you accept it or not, something's happening. And you might say, well, how rapidly will that happen? And many people are very, very, very anxious. I'm not. Why? I believe in the sovereignty of God. Nothing can happen outside the will of God. In the history of the world, in the history of a nation, in the progress of the church, and in your life, and in my life, nothing can happen outside the sovereignty of God, even when it seems to be so very, very desperate. However, Jacob dies, and the brothers now are terrified. They really are terrified, and they don't know what to do. And they come to him and said, our father said that you should forgive us. Forgive our trespasses, because we have been very evil. We tried to get rid of you. We tried to kill you. And see, it really, his life was on the thread, wasn't it? It really was. He wasn't really saved because of them at all. And he said, don't be afraid. Don't be like this. Get up. Get off your knees. Fear not. But as for you, I'll tell you. He thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Look how he has used the circumstances and how I'm in the court of Pharaoh and how God has given me wisdom how to be able to save the lives of these people in Egypt and all the neighboring countries and how you have been preserved. Just think how many people have been kept alive, and also think how something great has been kept alive. The purposes of God through all circumstances. Now then, what should we say to all this? Where are you there? Faith? Have you got faith? You might say to me, well, I've got saving faith. Now, shall I show you a proof? Have you got faith of the providence and the care of God in your circumstances? Because if you haven't, you haven't got the former. You're not trusting him. We trust him with our souls. We also trust him with our lives. You know? And we don't know what our end will be like. You know, we don't know. So that's how we got that kind of faith. If not, get it. You know, get it. Faith produces a consistency of an obedient life that trusts God. And sometimes when you think you've failed him, no, just pick up your heart and say, no, I have not really. I've had a down, but I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Yeah, I trust you. You know what Job said? Job had a terrible time. You know, he lost his sons and his daughters, his health, and his wife was of help to her. His friends were absolutely hopeless, you know. He lost everything like that. And you know what he said? Even if thou should kill me, Lord, yet will I trust in thee. Is that something? Even if thou kill me, Lord, yet will I trust in thee. Now then, why, Job? Oh, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and out of my flesh I shall see God. It's a remarkable thing. Now then, you may not be using it or practicing it. You may have it. Use it. That's where we fail. It's not that we haven't got it and said, oh, I've been not using it. Use it. If you're a Christian now and you have faith in for your soul, use that faith in your life. I'm saying this to myself as well, you know. Such faith produces a tender and a forgiving spirit. It makes you tender-hearted. It makes you that you will forgive people. It gives you an excellent spirit. Have you heard people say, no, I'll never forgive them. They've gone too far. I despair when people say that. We must never, no, however provoked we are, however insulted, we must never say. In any case, in our hearts, you know, this doesn't mean that we condone what people have done or support or show that we agree with them. Not that, but our hearts can be right. Our hearts can be right. This faith will see the hand of God where other people don't see it at all. It sees the hand of God and looks beyond. It looks beyond the builder and the founder. It looks to the ultimate purpose of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph looked beyond their circumstances. They were carrying out the purposes of God for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That is what they're looking for. Now, what kind of men do you call these? There are plenty of men who are religious, but I find they change in their attitudes. I call that they have opinions. There's a difference between them and men of conviction. You cannot crush a man of conviction. I'm saying good convictions now, of course. He'll go on. Take Martin Luther, since last Sunday or the Sunday before was Reformation Sunday. Remember when he discovered by the help of Erasmus that great phrase, the just shall live by faith, and he added in Latin, by faith alone, you know, here I stand, I can no other. Did you want to try and persuade me any other way? You're on a loser. Here I stand, I can no other. I cannot betray him, I cannot fail him, I will not cease from following him. This faith sees the hand of God in everything. You know, you see some people, I've seen so many people in tragic situations, and they've had such peace, and they've recognized, you know, and they say things like this. You've heard them say it. If it went, I don't know how people live without the Lord, you know. I don't know how they manage without the Lord. Because in it, and this is a strange thing, you know, and that's where that hymn comes from. I saw a new vision of Jesus, you know, in a time in my own life, and you know, it just looked like the end, and yet, you see, I would never have been without it. really, no. You know, I wouldn't want that so often to happen. That's quite true. We're human, aren't we? I wouldn't like it often to happen. But we look at these times and say, well, the hand of God was there. And I felt the hand of God. And he lifted me. He lifted me. And he showed me some glimpse of his plan. Now, we are part of this plan. Now, we are a little church here. We're a fair number. We're big according to most churches I see anyway. But smaller compared to the very big churches I know. But you know, we also work in a wonderful way. Look at the opportunity you have. Today, just think now. The sermons from this church are put on the website. All right? Well, I can remember going to a place in America. I think the place was called Midland. But the event was, yes, it was Midland. And half a dozen young men were sitting in the back row, and they were smiling. And I didn't know whether to be annoyed with them or disappointed. And they came to me afterwards and said, "Forgive us for smiling. We were so interested to see the face behind the voice. We've been listening to you for years." You know? It's amazing. Then some time ago, somebody in Georgia, one of the states of America, living in a very, very simple kind of mobile home, but had a little computer and got the website and the sermon. Had nowhere to go on Sunday, collected her neighbours and meet there to listen to the messages. You see, today there are no walls. There are no walls. It can spread far, far and wide. The really funny one I can tell you, it's worth telling you, I think, to comfort you. There's one man in one of the countries of Africa. He sent for a tape. He said, "I was in Cardiff. I left a year ago and I took a tape with me. And I get all the family every Sunday to listen to it." They were a Roman Catholic family, by the way, or half, whatever. And by now, he said, after listening for 52 weeks, we all know it off by heart. So do you think we can have another one? Well, I think they deserved another one after such punishments. You know, they deserved one. And I don't know if somebody sent one. I hope that they did anyway. It reaches far and wide. So you cannot tell from a little pulpit like this and a little thing like this here how far it gets. It's remarkable. You know, it's remarkable. And so we can spread, you know, in so many locally to our neighbours and people that we shall never see until we come to glory. Have you got that vision? Can you capture it? Isn't it a worthwhile vision? You know, whilst we can, do all we can for the kingdom of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And ourselves, a life of faith in God. You can view everything like this. See God in everything. In adversity, in prosperity. It will give us a lovely spirit. It will give us a forgiving spirit. It will give us a kind spirit, a tender spirit. It doesn't mean that we'll tolerate evil. We'll say that's wrong. But you can say that's wrong without evil in your heart. There is right and wrong. There is that. Nevertheless, in your heart. Is it right to correct a child when he endangers his hand in a fire? Yes. Why do you do it? Because you love the child, you know. So we don't go all silly, you know, and make it a sloppy kind of a sentimental thing. This love and this forgiveness and this tenderness of heart can only be in the heart of the man or the woman who believes in God, who believes in the providence of God, who believes in the sovereignty of God, and who believes that God is working his purposes out even in these days that we are living in. So the cord was not snapped. It was not snapped because it was God's cord. Only Joseph is still going to have a tough time after Joseph has gone. But before long, well, a few hundred years, we're going to have Moses. God still had his eye on them. It's an amazing thing. Nothing can frustrate the work of God. I'll finish there.